Well, here we are. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is good to be back at home in the home studio here Monday morning, 9 o'clock, almost 9 o'clock. It's a minute before 9 o'clock. I guess that would be 8:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm back here at the house, the home studio, as I call it, the home studio, because it's at my home. I've got the worldwide headquarters studio will be tomorrow morning. Hopefully, I'll have the show from there. I might actually have another show later today. It's always that possibility that something will come up and I'll have another show. You have to kind of keep a watch for. You have to make sure you subscribe, because that way you'll get the what I call the breakthrough news. That started when we started having breakthrough cases. I think Jen Psaki had a breakthrough case. There was a breakthrough case, so we had breakthrough news. I announced very quickly that Jen Circleback Psaki, Pacircleback I call her, Pacircleback Psaki, she got COVID. And of course, we were told that we weren't, you know, you're not going to get this virus if you have these vaccines. If you get these vaccines, you won't have that. You won't get COVID. And you get COVID. Speaking of COVID, I haven't had a real good expose on COVID for quite some time, and I have to say, there's some interesting things happening in the background right now with this thing, and it's concerning me. It's at the point where I don't even like talking about it because of the vaccines. They're finding some very disturbing studies are popping up now because of the health issues because of the vaccine. It's a really difficult thing, because what you've got is you have people who have, almost everybody's had COVID. So it's whether they know it or not, probably pretty much everybody's been exposed to it and been and probably had the virus in their body. So it's one of those things where we have different groups of people. We have people who've never had the shot and who've never had symptoms. And as far as they know, they never had COVID. They probably have, but they were asymptomatic. Then you've got the people who never had the shot and have had COVID and know they've had COVID. They've been tested and they're sure of that. They maybe have had it more than once. Or maybe they've just had it once that they know of. So you got that group of people. Then you've got the people who've had the shot. They've had the booster. By the way, the numbers drop dramatically on boosted people. It's the initial shot is, numbers are really high, but the booster shots are not so much. People really dropped off on their, because when they found out that they were still going to be able to get COVID, they kind of backed off on that one. The problem is that there's, you know, so now you have this group of people who've had the shot and have never been symptomatic and never been tested. Or never, you know, they've been tested, but they've never had it as far as they know. I've had it. I've been tested and I didn't. When I was traveling, I didn't have, I wasn't positive for COVID. However, I've never had a positive test, but I'm pretty sure I've had it twice. I had the original thing when it first came out, when they were first getting tested was few and far between. I'm telling you, they had the tests available, but not when I had it. This was very early on. If you look back in the history and the data, because I was confronted about this, somebody said, "Oh no, they had tests." No, they did not have tests when I had it. It wasn't readily available. You couldn't find the legislation hadn't passed yet for any of that to happen. Tests were not white. You couldn't just go to the drugstore and get a test. So it was not possible initially to get a test for COVID. Not. COVID-19. At the time that I think I had it, which was in, it was March, the end of March of 2020. That's when I believe I had it. This is just right after the shutdown. Soon after the shutdown happened. It was about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks after kind of the shutdown happened. So it was the end of March, beginning of April. Then we had the Omicron thing happen, and I'm pretty sure I had that. Because again, I had kind of a sickness thing, same kind of deal, a little bit different symptoms, but it was pretty much I had a fever and a whole thing. Didn't last long. I was off work at the time, so I stayed home. And I didn't get tested. Now, I could have gotten tested that time. I didn't get tested. So I'm pretty sure I had it. Now, there are those people who've been vaccinated who have never been symptomatic, vaccinated, boosted, the whole thing. And then you've got people who've been vaccinated who have had it and been tested positive and the whole thing as well. So you have these different groups of people, and it's such a wide variety that when they do these studies, it becomes a little bit complicated. Because most of them don't realize what I have in my cup. That's what I keep drinking this morning here. And I want to talk about my cup a little bit this morning. My cup itself is a cup with the name Rapala on it, and it's got a picture of a bass on there. I got this cup many, many years ago. I don't know how many years ago. It has been, I think I got this cup about 30 years ago. If it's got to be at least that long, maybe longer. I'm trying to remember if I was actually, it might have been before I was married. It could have been 35 years ago. By the way, my wife and I celebrated our 33rd anniversary, I believe it was about a week and a half ago. And just didn't want to throw that in there. But this cup says Rapala on it, and it came, this thing, they made fishing lures. I don't know if they're even still, I assume they're still in existence. They made fishing lures, and this particular cup came with a fishing lure. I believe I probably still have the fishing lure as well. So I have the full set. I don't have the box it came in. That's gone, long gone. I believe I caught a bass with that fishing lure one time. It's been a long time since I've been fishing, but I'm pretty sure I caught something with that. Pretty sure it was at the, yeah, I, you know, I'm pretty sure that this is probably about 40 years old, actually, now that I think about it. But I still have it. What's in my cup is, of course, it's vanilla chai, Pacific vanilla chai with sweet vanilla creamer. And it's good stuff. I don't have a backup cup. Normally when I'm home, I have a backup cup here with some tea or some feed fusion or something in it. I don't have a backup cup this morning. So, and the one thing about chai, this especially the creamy chai stuff does not give you a very good, it doesn't really clear your throat up. Let's just put it that way. It's kind of it has a tendency to make the old pipes kind of clog up a little bit. So I have to kind of be aware of that. Having some computer issues again here this morning. The system seems to be overloading for some reason. I don't know why it does that. Just all out of the blue, it'll just start doing that. I've been doing a lot of background stuff. I have some video. I have some video clips, but I have some audio for you this morning that I'd like to play. But let's get back to the COVID thing real quick before I forget about that. There's been some interesting studies coming out. There's a phenomenon, and this is what really, you know, I had this hunch about some things, and because of the statistics I was looking at, and some of the reports I had heard, and some of the headlines and articles I had read, I get all kinds of emails all day long. If I don't check my email in a day, I probably get close to several hundred emails in a day. Mostly news reports. And I try to, you know, try to scour over those a little bit as I'm going through. And I try to read at least what the first paragraph is. I usually read the first and last paragraph really quickly, because if you just read the headline, it can really throw you off in terms of what's in the body of the, so you read the first paragraph, which gives you a little bit more detail about what they're talking about. And then you read the last paragraph to give you kind of what the summation is of everything that they've done. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with it. It's completely, totally different than what the headline was. Especially, this is especially true with some of the legacy media companies. However, I ended up going to reading some all these articles and stuff that are going on with all this information, this feedback coming from doctors that are concerned about some of the things that they're seeing. One of the things that is happening right now in the country, nobody's talking about it, and it has struck very close to our family, is sudden adult death syndrome. Now, it's called SADS. It's not SIDS, not sudden infant death syndrome. For the first time in our nation's history, this thing has become an issue. And Dr. John Campbell, I just had the suspicion that maybe these, I was suspicious of all the reports I was hearing, because it was mostly coming from anti-vax places and other organizations. Now, one news organization that has been very neutral and very objective in the whole process has been the Epic Times. They tend to be very objective. They only report on what's factual. Roman Bomilkov, he has this show called Facts Matter, and he will just go over the facts. And he'll ask some serious questions. He doesn't necessarily give you definitive answers. Of course, he's been booted off of YouTube a couple times, but so has Dr. John Campbell, and all he does is go over statistics. He is apolitical. He does not go through any kind of politics of anything. In fact, if anything, I think he leans a little bit left. But all he does is go over statistics, reports from countries, health departments. And he goes over those things, and he gets the word police go after him on Facebook and YouTube. He was very, very popular because of the fact that he was just covering the facts. Go over the data and come up with summations based on the data, I should say. He was very clear when he would look at some data and he would say, this seems like an outlier. This seems like I don't trust this data because it was ridiculous. Now he recently came out with a little vlog, whatever you call it. He had a little cast that he did. Usually it's about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes long. And he went over the excessive number of deaths, or the rise in deaths not from COVID. And he went over the data worldwide. And you could tell by the end of the show, he was very disturbed. He was very upset. He kind of ended the show very strangely. He just kind of, he just kind of ended it very abruptly and he was very perplexed and very concerned, you could tell. Because the numbers are not good. And he made it very clear that he thinks that there's something nefarious happening that we're not being told. You could just tell he had that kind of air in his voice, the tone in his voice, and his attitude was somebody's not being upfront with us about this. Something's happening. He's concerned about it, and you could tell. And it was so as this went on, and he was talking about it. There's more news articles, more athletes now, again, people who were forced to take the vaccine are having heart issues. Not so much respiratory issues, but heart and cardio issues strange things happening. It's very concerning and disconcerting. We'll have to see how this all pans out, but at the rate that things are going, there's one doctor that has predicted that by 2026, he's saying that the percentage of number of people who will be... Now, is this people who've been vaccinated who've had the virus? Is this people who've just had the virus? Is it among everybody who's... Is this just among people who've just been vaccinated and boosted? Certain kinds of vaccines. Is it the Pfizer? Is it the J&J? So there's a lot of information that is not out there yet. Because this, you know, you have to gather all this data and then make sense of it. Now, Dr. John Campbell is very good at that. It still takes time. You have to wait till the data comes in. You have to see what the results are. And we're also finding out that there was a whole lot more in the Pfizer study that was, of course, redacted, basically. And it's just been... So I'm concerned about all that stuff, and we'll see how this all pans out. Of course, they're going to blame Trump. If anything bad is discovered, it's all going to be Trump's fault. Well, Trump pushed it through too quickly, even though they're taking advantage of it now, which is classic because this is what's happening now, of course. Joe Biden has been on the campaign trail. I call it the war path for no reason. He's not campaigning for office. He's just out there. And I notice he's not campaigning for any particular. You don't see him at anybody's event that's standing there next to him that he's endorsing, because nobody wants his endorsement right now. Democrats are really distancing themselves from him in big ways. Now, he's coming out right now making a lot of statements that the far left doesn't like. They're upset with him. In fact, Anna Kasparian, or whatever her name is, from the Young Turks, what, I don't know what her name is, she's up all upset about this. We need to fund the police. Fund the police. Fund the police. Because they don't want to fund the police. They're upset about the police. Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy Cortez, was asked prior to the 2020 election, she was asked, what do you think it will look like if we reduce the number of police? If we don't have police, what will it look like? She looks straight at the camera, straight at the person asking her, and sincerely said, with all of the belief that she has within her,
the suburbs.
Really? So all you need to do is go to East Chicago, remove the police, and it will turn into the suburbs. It'll look like Father Knows Best. That's all you got to do. This is the most ridiculous statement. And yet she gets away with this stuff. How is that? How does that happen, that you get away with that kind of thing? I digress. Let's look at some of the... I'm just going to go over... I've kind of got these in kind of a... I don't know. They're kind of. I have them kind of wrapped up in a kind of a weird, you know, order here. I don't know that this. I'm not sure what this first one is. Let's see. This is the one that. This is the one about the police. And Anna Kasparian was all upset about this and went on and on about what he said. So, oh, he said some good things, and I like the fact he's coming out with some energy. But let's look at this for what it is. Or listen to it for what it is, and we'll analyze a little bit of this. There was another speech he made. I can't find it. It's not on the internet very much at all. I mean, I found it within some other people's interviews or shows, and it's really difficult to try to extract that kind of thing sometimes. But let's listen to some of these clips here. I just kind of edited these together. They're different clips, full statements, not edited statements, but edited full statements that I cut out the other stuff in between. Listen.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Yeah. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent a type of extremism that threatens the very foundation. They're going after this foundation of democracy thing. Now, they recently took a poll, and I'm going to show you the result. I'm going to tell you the results of this poll. You're not going to believe it, because it's totally bogus and it's totally ridiculous. And the way they state it in this news article, I just have the statistics that they quoted. I'm not going to play for you what they said, because it is absolutely insanity. It's just it's asinine the way they put it together. Let's listen to a little bit more of this speech here. Yeah, why isn't it?
I will not stand by and watch. I will not the will of the American people be overturned by wild conspiracy theories and baseless evidence-free claims of fraud. I will not stand by and watch elections in this country stolen by people who simply refuse to accept that they lost.
This is rich, folks. This is a very rich statement. This coming from people who 2 years prior to this, actually it's been 4 years now, and they spent 4 or 5 years telling us that Donald Trump was elected because of a Russian conspiracy, the Russia collusion. Russia influenced the election. That's why Donald Trump won. He's Russia's puppet. He's Putin's puppet. That's all we heard for 4 years. They tried to impeach him on everything that they could. Well, they did impeach him on that one phone call. There's nothing wrong with it. It's ridiculous. Such a partisan thing. And they're the ones out there claiming the Republicans want to destroy your democracy. They say our democracy. They're very clear when they say it. They say they want to destroy our democracy. People are dangerous, I'm telling you. The more you know about history and what has happened in the past, you realize this is unfolding before our very eyes. The Republicans have traditionally been the ones who've upheld the Constitution. They want constructionist judges on the Supreme Court. What that means is they want original intent judges on the Supreme Court. The left wants activist judges on the Supreme Court. In other words, they want to legislate from the bench, not just look at the law and interpret the law. They want to change the law. That's a threat. That is a threat. They claim that they want they're all for the Constitution. They're trying to defend the Constitution. Then he claims that they want to change the way we vote. They want to change who can vote and the way we vote, the way we count votes in this country. This also is rich, coming from the very party that, because of the pandemic, we illegally can step in now. The governors can step in and the attorney generals can step in and change the rules for voting in 2020. We can allow all kinds of things that are not allowed in our state constitution, and that's okay. Because it's a pandemic. We had to do this because it was a pandemic. They're the ones who changed the rules unilaterally. All the Republicans are trying to do now is make it law, put into place very clear legislation that will make it illegal to do that again. They're the ones who did this. And now they're calling into, you're a criminal if you question the results of an election, like they did in 2016 for 4 years. People in very high levels, in fact, the other opponent still, like the week before the election, was saying how, well, you can still do everything right and still have the election stolen from you. Nobody called her a person who was perpetuating the lie. Who is it that really wants to stand up for this nation and in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, everything that we have that we hold dear? Who is it that's really standing up for those things? People on the left? He would have you believe that right now. He's trying to vilify. He'll come out and vilify every single person who voted for Donald Trump and then turn around. He will turn around and pretend like he didn't say that. No, he's just talking about the elected officials. Now, there's a few good Republicans out there, the ones who will kowtow to him. Because that's what a dictatorship is. Well, you're only a good Republican if you comply with what we want. So that's how they see compromise as you compromise and we'll accept it. We'll never forgive you for being a Trump supporter because that makes you a ultra mega criminal. That's where they're going with this. And if you don't believe me, look at some of the reports now of there was more, by the way. Original report, Steve Bannon said something about 35 people in one day. It was like the night of the long knives. Which, that if you look back in history, that was there was a certain socialist or there was a certain collectivist movement that happened. It was going on at one point where this one night they sent out assassins to kill all of their opponents. They sliced their throats in the middle of the night. Well, this one weekend that Bannon was arrested, 35 other people associated with the Trump campaign were also raided. The other thing that they're doing, and I don't know who's doing it, but somehow the FBI doesn't seem to find it, the DOJ doesn't seem to find it as a terrorist thing or it's an action of any kind of, anything needs to be investigated, I guess. Nobody's really putting any effort into it. It kind of makes you wonder who's actually doing the phone calling. They're calling in SWAT teams. I thought it was just Marjorie Taylor Greene that this was happening to. This is happening to a lot of people. Project Veritas, for one. James O'Keefe. He and some of his people, I guess, have been what they call swatted. This is very dangerous, folks. This is an attempt to kill someone by police. SWAT team shows up at your door. It bangs on your door in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning. You get up with your gun in your hand. You come to the door with a gun in your hand because you don't know who it is. All they see is somebody with a gun in their hand, and they start shooting. Now, this is not the way SWAT teams are supposed to be trained, but I guarantee you there are some SWAT teams out there who don't see a lot of action, and they are on a hair trigger. Sometimes their trigger discipline is not exactly... I've seen this, and there's plenty of videos out there where officers just start shooting because they see a gun. Gun isn't pointed at them. The gun isn't even... The person isn't even holding the gun. Gun, gun, gun. Of course, then everybody shoots. This is really disgusting training, in my opinion. It's worse than a chokehold. Back in the day, this was back in 80, 82, 83, let's see, wait, 83, 84. The year of 1983, I was actually helping to train some local police officers and did some work, a little bit of stuff at the police academy training area. This is back when the PR-24 was popular. T.J. Hooker, remember that? William Shatner was T.J. Hooker. And he had this PR-24. In fact, I wonder if I can find a video on that. Let's see if there's... I bet there's YouTube on this thing. Let's see if we can find a... PR-24. T.J. Hooker. Let's see if it's in here. Yep, it's on here. They got this... This is the very first one that comes up is stupid stuff. It's not what it says. Stupid stuff in T.J. Hooker, excessive baton twirl fight. Yeah, they got full episodes here. Yeah, we actually have full episodes. So William Shatner was in this thing, and there's a couple other, what's her name? Who's this gal that's in this thing? She was kind of the... Saturday Night Live has a skit on it too. The PR-24 was like a tanfa, what it's called, a tanfa in martial arts, and it was like it's like a baton, but it has a handle on it. It's a 90-degree perpendicular handle on the thing, and it has some capabilities that, of course, that was fancy looking, and it was some police officers were carrying them, and they don't carry them anymore. But not that I know of, it required some training. And of course, they made it look like it was this was a fancy gizmo that you could just, you know, defeat anybody with. But it was interesting. And so T.J. Hooker had this PR-24. I was training officers at that time, and one of the biggest emphasis, 80% of what the courses were about, the things that I taught, were all about what is excessive force. And simple compliance was not a reason to use non-lethal weapons, not like a taser or a beanbag shotgun type thing. There's a specific name for it. I can't think of it. And you couldn't just start inducing pain on someone who was not threatening you. You had to have a way to get them to comply from hand to hand, contact and that kind of thing. Now, if someone had a knife across the room, yes, absolutely, this is deadly force they're threatening you with, if they're in a threatening position, posture, that kind of thing. I mean, just somebody, you know, with a steak knife eating their supper, you can't just shoot them because they've got a knife in their hand. Or if you cross the room, you tell them to put the knife down and they don't hear you and they still keep sitting there eating, they're cutting their steak or whatever they're doing. Well, he didn't comply, so now I'm going to tase him. That's the point that some precincts are like that now. It's the kind of training that some of these officers are getting, which is very poor. I think most officers would agree with me. But that's poor reaction. They don't want to take the time to allow the person to have their rights. We have to respect the person's rights. Can't just step in and whatever I say goes because I'm the law. Well, they're the citizen. They're the taxpayer. They're the ones with the rights that you have to do your job and determine that there's probable cause and move on from there. But I digress. So, having said all that, we have a situation right now where the DOJ has come after what the numbers apparently. Now, Tucker Carlson also did an expose on this thing on the weekend, what happened over that weekend. And he's saying that there were 50 people. Truth be told, we're now finding out that there were probably more like 100 people whose homes were either raided or people were literally perp walked. And here again, this is the whole optics thing of this whole thing. They go after somebody. This is the second time they've perp walked Bannon now. The charges that they get them on doesn't matter. They can get them on just non-compliance with a particular subpoena, whatever it is. Not that they've broken any laws, but now they're going to arrest them for something else. It's a process crime. But it makes them look like a criminal into the optics. Oh, look, they're arresting all these Trump supporters, which wanes the support of the independents. People feel like, oh, I don't know, Trump's controversial. He might have done some bad things, so I'm not going to vote for anybody who's MAGA anyway. I want to distance myself from MAGA people. Well, that's not happening with this crowd. This crowd knows better. But it only inflames the leftists to go even further. And the kind of rhetoric we're hearing from the president right now is absolutely appalling. This is not rhetoric that's going to bring the nation together. They're the ones who've been throwing the tantrums. They're the ones on the left who are stirring up the leftists. When you see somebody in it, you go out, you create a terror, you tell them not welcome here anymore, anywhere. Who does that sound like? The things that the left has said, especially during before the 2020 election, vilifying Trump to the point where they made this monster out of the guy, to the point where anybody who supported him or voted for him is an enemy of the state. I guarantee you, if you traveled to Washington, D.C. on January 5th or 6th, if you were on the Capitol Mall, I would imagine your name is on a list somewhere. I would imagine they're using that as probable cause to check up on everything you did. And that means looking at your phone records, tapping your phone possibly. Who knows what they're doing? I heard I think it was Tucker Carlson actually doing an interview. No, it was Mark Levin. Mark Levin on Life, Liberty, and Levin last night. Interviewing a particular guy who formerly worked at the DOJ, and I can't think of the guy's name anymore. And he was basically saying, yeah, this is all this stuff's illegal. And of course, then they get this information and then they leak it. They leak it they have these channels, back channels, that they leak this stuff to certain news media organizations. This stuff is all illegal. Is the DOJ doing any investigations? Well, let's call them before Congress. Well, we can't comment on any ongoing investigations or personnel issues. You can't even tell us whether or not you're looking into this? No, because that's an ongoing personnel issue, and it's whether we are or there, whether there is or isn't, we can't even verify, confirm, or deny. We can't confirm or deny that there is anything. Because it's super, super duper, super duper top secret, secret, super secret. We can't compromise any of those investigations by telling you anything about it. Oh, so nothing's ever going to happen with it. So obviously something's leaking, but you're never going to find it. You're the FBI. You're charged with finding things out that the American people are perpetrating. You know, that criminals are out there perpetrating. But you're telling me you can't even, within your own organization, you can't even stop that kind of thing. I think there's a name for that. There's a word, I think, that comes to mind. Starts with an N, ends with a competence. So Biden is out there saying all this stuff. Now, there's another little clip. I think let's see if this one, is that the end of that? I think that was the end of that clip. Is that?
To an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love.
That's what the Republicans want. Yes, that's what they want. No right to privacy. No right to marry who you love. What kind of a fantasy land is this guy living in? Now, here's some more snippets. I think these are a little different topic. This one he's talking about something else. I was trying to find the one where he actually goes through this whole thing about this list of the semi-fascists and what they believe and what the Republicans want from you. And it's actually totally the opposite. It's what they've been saying all this time. Let's just see what this is.
I call it the Safer America's plan, and both your members of Congress voted for it. It's based on a...
Now, I do want to say before we go any further, this is sped up, by the way. It's 1.25 times the speed that it was originally recorded in. It makes Biden sound smarter. I will say that. You have to realize he doesn't talk this fast. So when you hear this, don't think that he's out there with all this energy saying things faster than he's actually saying it. This is actually recorded faster to save you and your ears and your mind from having to listen to this guy forever. So that's basically for my eyes and my ears, because my blood shoots from my eyes if I have to listen to this guy very long. So let's start this clip over again. I just wanted to make that clear that these clips are faster than normal, which makes him sound smarter.
I call it the Safer America's plan, and both your members of Congress voted for it. It's based on a simple notion. When it comes to public safety in this nation, the answer is not defund the police. It's fund the police. Fund the police. And give them...
Everybody's clapping.
We expect them to do everything. We expect them to protect us, to be psychologists, and to be sociologists.
That's what we expect from them.
To do everything. I'm not
joking. Expect them to be a sociologist.
Everything. You realize more police officers are killed dealing with domestic violence than anything else?
Really?
You realize that? The point is,
but let's listen to that statement here. Let's listen to that statement. Let's go back and listen to that statement here a little bit, because he says something that's a little bit odd, actually. So let's see if we can find this again. I'm going to pull this up a little differently so I can actually play it from here. Let's see if we can find this again.
Domestic violence than anything else? You realize more police officers are killed dealing with domestic violence than anything else?
More police officers are killed daily with domestic violence than anything else. More police officers are killed daily with domestic violence than anything else. So is domestic violence the actual weapon? more police officers are killed daily with domestic violence than anything else. I don't know where he's getting these statistics. It's absolutely false on its face. No, it doesn't happen. You know, actually, officers are killed every day in the line of duty. You want to know one of the top reasons? One of the top three? Automobile accidents. Officers are killed in the line of duty, and here's the reason they get killed is traffic stops. They walk up to the car, they're out there on the highway. Next thing you know, I believe the last time we had an officer killed in my state, I believe was a deal where an officer was alongside the road, had a car pulled over, and a truck basically, I don't know if he didn't see the cop or didn't what was going on there, but accidentally hit the police officer. If it wasn't the last time, it was like within the last three or four times. More officers are killed with domestic violence than anything else. What does that? So that's not AR-15s. I thought they were killed with AR-15s, but no, there's somebody out there just using domestic violence, killing people. I'm not even sure what that means. What is a domestic violent? Should I get one? Could you have to get a license for that? What is this? He makes a statement like that it doesn't even make any sense. And you got this crowd of people there. The crowd of people did not show up to watch Joe Biden. I guarantee you that. They're there for some other reason. He's probably there stepping in because, well, there's a crowd. I better step in there and act like I attracted them. You see, when Trump has a rally, thousands of people show up to see him. When Biden has a rally, he's the most popular president that's ever been, by the way. He got 81 million votes, by the way, in case you're wondering. And maybe more than 81 million votes, even though Donald Trump got more votes than any other Republican president ever in the history of the country. And yet, that many more people stepped up to vote for Joe Biden. More than Barack Obama. Barack Obama, by the way, in 2008, won the state of Indiana. And yet, Joe Biden got more votes. Well, it's because of their hatred for Donald Trump. Okay. And we're supposed to just sit back and accept that. Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, okay, well, that sounds right. Yeah, we're not going to question the results of this election because, Russia. Russia didn't get involved in this election because we protected it. It was the most secure election ever. But we're concerned about 2024 and 2022, especially 2022. 2022 and 2024. Definitely 2024. Because we think Russia may try to influence the election again. See, they're setting themselves up. They're preparing for this. So Joe Biden's coming out as if he's not a part of this leftist crowd, the squad, ticking them off. And they're being told to settle down and shut up right now. I guarantee you they're being told we have to come across as more centrist before the 2022 election. Now, there's been some estimates now. See, what happens, and Rush Limbaugh was always really good about this. He always talked about the polls prior to an election. The polls will always look like the Democrats are way out ahead. There's reasons for why they do this. If they can show their support on their side, it helps to energize the base and think, oh, these people might win. I'm going to go ahead and donate to their political campaign. It's all about the donations. It's all about getting the money. If they were getting trounced on, like Liz Cheney was, They're losing. They're way behind in the polls. There's absolutely no shot of them winning. Nobody's going to donate to their campaign. So what we have is we have this issue where the polls come out and they tell us that, well, look how they need your support. Then the polls start to even up closer to the election. And then they can start to squeeze their constituents. Look, we're ahead. We got a chance to win this. We've been ahead this whole time, but now all of a sudden they've dumped a bunch of money into the campaign, and you need to start dumping your money into the campaign to make sure we win this. So they start to squeeze their constituents into spending more money because we got a shot at it. But they have to even up the polls closer to the election, because that way it doesn't look ridiculous when they lose. Or if they can fix the election, not that they would ever do that, it will make it look, well, the Pohibs were ahead in the polls, so that's why it won. Speaking of polls, let's take a look at this one. Let's finish the rest of this. I think there's more on this particular file. Let's listen to the rest of this. I think there's about 30 seconds left. Let's just see what it is. I don't remember what it is on here. I don't take any notes.
You realize that? The point is, we ask so much of you. I've not met a cop who likes a bad cop.
Well, I could go a lot of places with that, but I'm just not going to go there.
There's bad in everything. There's lousy senators. There's lousy presidents. There's lousy doctors. There's lousy lawyers.
Yes, that's right, Joe. There are. There's lousy presidents, lousy doctors, Fauci, lousy lawyers, people who are partisan, lousy judges, legislating from the bench. You're right, Joe. You're right about all that. You're a lousy president. In fact, you should, takes one to know one, I guess you could say it there. Of course, he's implying that Trump was a lousy president. He's done such a much better job. Biden has just done a way better job on everything.
There's lousy senators, there's lousy presidents, there's lousy doctors, there's lousy lawyers. No, I'm serious.
And have you noticed he's doing this a lot lately? No, I'm serious. People start laughing or saying something. No, I'm serious. That's no joke. I'm serious. Well, we thought you were serious. I mean, the rest of your speech wasn't serious. Why do you keep saying you're serious? You have to keep saying that. It's like when somebody says, "I'll be honest with you." Oh, but you weren't honest before? I think what they mean is, "I'll be open and transparent with you." Or I'll be upfront and candid with you. To say that you're going to be honest with someone is a little bit of a misnomer. It's a little bit of a strange statement to make. Oh, because rather than to lie to me like you've been doing in the past, now you're going to say you're going to be honest with me. Or they say, "Believe me," or "honestly." Kind of weird.
But I don't know any police officer that feels good about the fact that there may be a lousy cop. I'm tired of not giving the kind of help they need. Folks, look, we're in a situation in this country where we have to give them additional resources they need to get their job done.
Yeah. This coming from the party that was screaming about defunding police. That's what we had not that long ago. They know it's down the memory hole. We're not supposed to remember that. And all of a sudden, the Republicans are the ones who don't want to uphold and support law enforcement. I guarantee, walk up to any police officer, and say, "Thank you for your support. Thank you for your service. Thank you for supporting the community. Thank you for laying your life down every day for the community." And by the way, how many Democrats have told you that today? How many leftists have walked up to you ever and told you that? "Thank you for your service." They know. Police officers know who the people are who support them. They know that. "I've never met a cop that likes a lousy cop." What if you've only met lousy cops that are liars? You think a lousy cop is going to tell you he's a lousy cop? Ridiculous. People are incorrigible. Now, one of the things that has come out now, it's almost as if people listen to them. It's almost like there's some people at high levels listening to my show. I've always said that the Democrats, you can't call them out in hypocrisy. You can. You can point out their hypocrisy to people. Hopefully the independents will see it. But they have no self-awareness among themselves. You're not going to change their minds by pointing out their hypocrisy. First of all, they take that as they're offended by that. Well, who are you? You're self-righteous. Oh, whatever. Because you're pointing out the fact that they'll say one thing and do another, or they'll say one thing about one in one situation on, yeah. And you point that out to them, and because the end justifies, the only moral thing that they know, the only thing that they have in their playbook in terms of actual morals or foundational things that they stand on is the end justifies the means. I've said this many times. Harry Reid was a perfect example of this. Came out on the Senate floor and said, word on the street has it that Romney hasn't paid his taxes in the last 10 years. Huh. He didn't know. He had no idea. It was all made up. When he was confronted about it by a reporter giving him an interview, he said, well, he didn't win, did he? All that mattered was that he didn't win. Didn't matter that he lied to the American people. He stood up there as a representative of the people and lied on their behalf. You see, you think about this kind of thing. They're up there. They're not up there to represent themselves. They're not up there supposedly for any political purpose that involves their party. They're supposed to be supporting a platform and defending. Their first job is to uphold and defend the Constitution. All they care about is destroying the Constitution. Yeah, I'm swearing an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, but I'm going to take away your First Amendment rights and your Second Amendment rights and the 14th Amendment and some other things. There's a few other things in there that we're just going to go ahead and destroy. We're going to take those out of there because those things I didn't take an oath for. It's just the part of the Constitution that I wanted to support and defend and uphold. I'm not really here to represent you or to be your representative. You see, if I were elected to go to the Senate or to the House, I would be representing the people in my district. Anything I would say or do would be on their behalf. If I'm on the congressional floor or the Senate floor and I make a statement, I'm making a statement from the people here in my constituents here in this district. And if it's concerning legal issues of the Constitution, I'm making that on behalf of every single individual in the nation. Not on my behalf, not on what my opinion is, but on behalf of those that I represent. If I lie on the Senate floor, I'm making liars out of everyone that I'm called to represent. But they're exempt from that. If you lie, if you get called before Congress, and you lie to the American people, because they're there to represent the American people, right? So you're speaking to the American people. When you speak to the representatives, you're speaking to the American people. And supposedly it's a crime to lie to them. But they can lie on behalf of the American people. They can lie to you. They can lie to each other. They can lie to themselves all day long. No consequences. And I believe it's even written in their rules. And say whatever they want on the Senate floor. As long as they have the decorum. They don't break decorum. Like tearing up someone's speech. Throwing a little 12-year-old temper tantrum. Word has it, though, that there's some of these polls. And there's a really honest poll out there that apparently has the Senate being won actually possibly by 60% by the Republicans. Now, again, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We're getting closer to the elections. We're only halfway through September, not even quite halfway through September. We have less than 2 months till the election. Things are going to intensify in October. You think things are bad now? You think that Biden is out there with some rhetoric now that's going to divide the country? You wait. They won't arrest Trump before the election, possibly. But there's going to be some other arrests. Now, the problem with this whole thing about, well, the Republicans are going to get in there and they're going to have all kinds of investigations and then we're going to have... What do you think the DOJ is going to do? What do you think Merrick Garland's going to do once the Republicans recommend indictment? Do you think the DOJ is going to indict anybody on the left? Do you really think so? Yes, we recommend all these things. They've broken all these laws. Well, you know, we don't have a letter from the, we don't have a letter. Nothing's going to happen until we get a, and of course, the media is just, we're in a very precarious situation here. And in fact, I don't think people realize there are people marching in the streets in some places saying this is class war. This is people, there's leftists out there making it very clear. They recognize, they realize we're in a war here. They're very close to taking up arms. Who do you think the DOJ is going to side with? And they and what they want is they want some kind of uprising from militias or armed groups of some kind. They want something to happen. Now, I've been told, well, I don't know if Biden calls on the military. Most of the people in the military are pretty conservative. They're pretty pretty staunch. Well, they were until we have this whole woke thing going on. General Milley. I've got an opinion about Milley. I tell you, every time I see that guy, it's really bizarre sometimes. And I hate to be put in this position because I've been asked sometimes because I have this uncanny ability to see somebody or meet somebody and know a lot of things about them, about the bad things that they do. And I don't want to see them as that because that's not who they are. That's just the bad stuff that they do. Everybody's got that stuff. But I have this uncanny ability, not always, but sometimes I get these red flags, and it's just I don't even know how to explain that. General Milley has got some very, very dark secrets in his closet. I'm not going to go further than that. So the issues before us are the fact that we are in an ideological war right now. Philosophically, mentally, spiritually, informationally, we are at war. And the Republicans need to step up. McCarthy finally kind of got up and he'll make some statements about how, the president was unpresidential and what he said about the MAGA crowd or whatever, vilifying, all Republicans. McCarthy must be stopped. He should not be Speaker of the House. I know he's trying to measure for the drapes in his office now. That guy, folks, he is the most polished rhino in the House right now, as far as that I know of. But rhino, nonetheless. He's very good at it. We're not going to see what we need to see from McCarthy. And we share the same first name, but I've never met a Kevin that I don't like. However, I do not trust Kevin McCarthy at all. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's a snake. That's what I want to say. Do not trust that man. We need a Jim Jordan. We need a Gomer. We need those kinds of people leading. Certainly not a Mitch McConnell. Oh, my word. He's not said hardly any. And they're all sitting around, all but a handful of them, are sitting around while the January 6th prisoners, political prisoners, are sitting rotting in jail cells, being psychologically tortured. taking away their rights. And of course, oh, well, we're not, but it's the Republicans that want to take away your rights. Folks, we're witnessing the very things that they're trying to call out are the very things they're doing. This is very typical of the left, by the way, because they project what they're doing on someone else. And this is exactly what 10 to 12-year-olds do all the time. If you've ever had a teenager, if you've ever been a teenager, you know that that happens. Well, it's their fault. That's what they're doing. When it's you that's doing it all, it's a 12-year-old is doing it, they project it on someone else. This happens all the time. Now, I realize my show's gone a little bit long this morning, but it's Monday and I didn't have a show since Friday. Once again, yesterday was 9/11. Not an easy day for me, still, 21 years later. I've never been to the memorial in New York. I would like to go. I'd like to go to Shanksville and go to the Tower Memorial. Don't know how I would take it. My job at that time was to fly people around in an airplane. And I just happened to be off that day. And the idea that they were using this amazing machine to transport people around, they used those as weapons. You know, I watched a condensed version of all the events that happened. It was like a one-hour special thing, documentary. It had all the different news. It was just straight newscasts all edited together of all the events. And the videos that captured the actual planes hitting the towers. It just does something internally to me that is unexplainable. The first victims that day were the flight crews. They slaughtered them. I had for a very long time been a proponent of certain actions by the pilots that I was told by the FAA, no, you can't do that. Well, I'll tell you what, when your butt is strapped into the seat and you're flying the plane, then you do what you want to do, but this is what I'm going to do. Forget you, because this is the way it's going to be. Somebody comes through that door. It wants to take over this airplane. I'm the only thing there keeping this airplane from becoming a weapon. If I'm gone, everybody's gone. So, yeah. You do what you want, Mr. FAA official, sitting in there at your desk with your paper and your pencil, pushing paper all around all day long and telling us how it's supposed to be done. This is what I'm going to do. Had any single one of those pilots done what I had been telling us, and I'm not the only pilot that's been saying this. In fact, after it happened, there were a lot of pilots who said that this is what I would have done. I know they would have. They always get this armchair, next day quarterbacks. But I know these guys that said this, and this is exactly what they would have done, just like I would have done. I know what I would have done. And it would have taken a split second. Everything would have changed. Now, yeah, would people have gotten hurt? Yes. Yeah, people have gotten hurt. Mostly the terrorists. Would some flight attendants have been hurt? Yes. There would have been some people that would have gotten hurt. But you know what? The plane would have been landed, and the towers would not have been struck. Pentagon would not have been struck. Those brave souls that went down in Pennsylvania. Probably saved the White House. The estimation was Tower 1, Tower 2. Of course, Tower 2 was struck for... actually, Tower 1 was struck. Tower 2 was struck. Tower 2 came down first. I believe that's the way it was. The second building struck was the one that came down first. And there's all this speculation and all the conspiracy wackos out there saying that, well, the Pentagon was struck by a missile. Well, then what happened to the airplane that was missing? American Airlines flight was missing. It apparently never struck the Pentagon then. And then there's also the issue of bombs being sent off to bring the plane, to bring the buildings down. Well, Building 7, they blew that up. They blew it up. They went in there and demolished it. No, you don't understand. It's, now you're just being stupid. They didn't send the firemen in there to blow up the building. They yelled, pull it. When they drop buildings, they always yell, pull it. No, but the fire department also said, pull it. In other words, pull the people out of it. It's going to come down. I get so infuriated by some of the wacko conspiracy crap that's out there. Pilots and flight crew, flight attendants, died. If you've ever worked with metal at all, you understand the principles of a blast furnace and how even jet fuel, which is basically kerosene, can turn through a blast furnace with enough air flow from, say, wind at that altitude, with enough heat, you can't melt the metal. Well, you can. You can't actually melt metal with that. If you have enough airflow, enough oxygen with that fuel, it will melt it. Cut right through it. However, all you have to do is weaken it. The tensile strength diminishes rapidly at certain temperatures. Very easily reached with jet fuel and enough wind. And all the other plastics and everything else that was in that building burning. Why am I even going there? Because it's so ridiculous. Now, I know I've got a long show here. I do apologize. The show is going so long. And I want to thank you all for listening and all that stuff, but subscribing and passing this thing on to other people. But I wanted to mention some of those kinds of things because it infuriates me that people go there because they have questions and so they just fill in the blanks and they come up with all these weird answers. You don't know. Coming up with hypothesis and theories and all kinds of weird, crazy, wacko stuff. And you can get yourself drilled into these weird theories. People are walking around with We have a situation, folks, where the rhetoric is going to ramp up on the left. If you think it's bad now, give it another couple weeks. Biden's going to continue to be out there on this warpath, I call it, pretending like he's got these rallies going on and people are listening to him. He's probably got the same people bussing around. It's just ridiculous. We'll see how all this works out. But I know for a fact that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, it's going to get more and more intense. People are desperate, and desperate people do desperate things. So we'll see what happens. Folks, thanks for putting up with me to the end. If you've listened to it this long, I do appreciate you listening this long, sharing, subscribing. And I'll try to have a little bit more, a little more content for tomorrow. I got in about 3 o'clock in the morning this morning, so a little bit, I need a little nap. That's what I need, really. So see how it goes. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Have a great day. Take care. And of course, God bless.